Beth, it's really interesting. My kids are grown. They're in their 30s. And the thing that struck me in reading that book was the difference that technology has created. When my kids were in their teens, there were no cell phones. It's almost like you want to have that connection with them so that you know that they're okay. And yet, the technology that enables you to keep them under surveillance, if you will, is the same technology that enables them to go off in different directions and disconnect with you as a parent.
That's right. And of course, you know, there's a lot of fear. Parents have a lot of fear of, you know, what's out there on the internet. I mean, I try not to be a fear monger. You know, I try not to get hysterical about, you know, child predators on MySpace. Oh, my God. But, you know, it's actually a symbol of an issue that's been true of raising teenagers, you know, since time began, which is an issue of trust and separation where, you know, you don't know who they're communicating with on their, you know, in their text messages and on the internet and by cell phone. And so it's a scary thing as a parent because it's another thing that you don't have control over. You know, there are real dangers involved and you don't want to be hysterical about it. On the other hand, you want to be realistic and proactive. So it's a tricky thing. You know, the other thing, the book that I wrote is called 13 is the New 18, and people say to me, well, what does that mean? And, you know, when I was a 13-year-old, it was a very gradual transition between childhood and being a teenager. Adolescence was a long period of time where, you know, kids were funny looking and they still played with toys. And, you know, when I was 12 years old, I had braids and I played with Barbies. And let me tell you that 12-year-old girls do not play with Barbies anymore. You know, 12-year-old girls look like movie stars now. They have beautiful teeth and beautiful hair and beautiful skin and there's no more pimples and there's no more, you know, dandruff and there's none of that stuff. They start wearing braces when they're 9 years old. By the time they're 14, they're ready for, you know, their screen debut. So that transition that maybe in past generations gave parents a little bit of time to get used to this idea of a kid growing up, that transition is gone. Overnight now, 13 years old, they are the way we were when we were 16, 17. You know, the middle schoolers are behaving now like high schoolers used to. So that's another issue for this generation, I think.
Precisely. I was going to, again, attribute that to media. The media is so pervasive. For instance, I love baseball. I watch baseball. But, you know, I'm watching the game on television, and all of a sudden, in between innings, is an ad on erectile dysfunction. So are today's children deprived of their childhood? And how can a parent combat this or deal with this? You mentioned about the Barbie dolls and the girls and what girls are doing now at 12 is so different. And I get back to some of the things that they're exposed to.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I hate to sound like an old fogey, but, you know, we're Yankees fans, and I got an 11-year-old who loves baseball, and it is hard to sit through those commercials with an 11-year-old, let me tell you. I agree with you. It's they are exposed to a lot more sort of sophisticated themes and older themes in sexuality. I think it's especially hard for parents of girls. I have two boys, so I think it's not quite as hard for us. Not that, you know, obviously a parent of any teenager being a responsible parent is talking about sexuality and what your values are as a parent and what the rules are from your point of view, whatever those might be. But I, you know, especially the second time around, since I do have an 11-year-old, I am so committed to letting him be a little boy. You know, I think with my older son, I wasn't quite ready for that transition to go so fast. And I feel so strongly that as parents, we have to save childhood. We have to somehow find ways to preserve that sense of wonder. It's really hard because they are bombarded with so many messages that tell them they have to grow up, they have to see R-rated movies, they have to play violent video games. It's really, really hard. But there are ways. You know, I'm lucky my little boy loves sports, and I think that sports is a terrific, terrific way to keep kids young. Because, you know why? Because instead of it being all about me, I'm so fabulous, look at me, they are part of a team, and they're part of something that's bigger than they are. And I think that's part of how you help them, you know, preserve that sense of childhood wonder so that they don't get all, you know, teenagery and I know everything and it's all about me. You know, I think there are other ways to do it, but I think that sports is a good way. You know, if you're of a mind to belong to a house of worship or any kind of a community organization, I think anything where we can de-emphasize the self and the selfishness and the, you know, the I, that, you know, that sort of self-obsession that teenagers have, and connect kids to their family, to their neighborhood, to some organization, to something that's bigger than they are. You know, and that might even be as simple as you go outside on a starry night and, you know, try to find Orion's Belt or the Big Dipper or something like that. Just something so that they get out of that that obsession, you know, which I think is very much driven by the media and, you know, the celebrity culture that we're in. You know, another issue I think for a lot of kids now is this emphasis on brand names. I mean, you don't get it quite as much when you have boys, but even boys, you know, they want those Jordan sneakers, you know, and Jordan sneakers cost $100. And when they're little, you can buy them sneakers at Payless for $10 and they're happy. Then all of a sudden, they're 13 years old and that's not going to do. They want $100 sneakers. So as parents, we have to, you know, again, communicate our values. I mean, in my case, I said, okay, here's my budget for sneakers. I'm willing to pay $50 a year for sneakers. If you need more than that, buddy, go get a job. And you know what? They got jobs. Teenagers are very resourceful. If you tell them that you're only willing to pay so much for something, they will find ways. They will mow lawns, walk dogs, you know, save up their allowance, babysit. So, you know, that's another thing that we can do as parents is just be clear about what our values are and just draw those lines and say, if you need to do it another way, then, you know, here's the situation from my point of view.